So today, we are looking at the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. As we read this parable, I want us to look at it from two perspectives. The sower who scatters the seed, and the ground where the seed falls. So before we begin, let me ask you a question. So in your country, in your context, so how do farmers plant rice? Rice, you know? Mati?
Nowadays they got different way of doing it. Sometimes they do it directly, sometimes they put on a pads. And I think now they, before people were planting it one by one, now they have a machine that they can use how to transplant it.
Okay. All right. Interesting. And then, how about England? Plant rice, no? All right. How about Japan? No, you don't know. You're city woman, Tokyo woman.
Yeah, not too sure to be honest with you.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. Maybe Niigata is the farming place, right?
Yeah, we do. Yes.
Yeah, okay. But Miho is from Tokyo. She's a city woman. Yeah. Okay, so how about the Australia? Australia, Ben? Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. So, yes, my context in Korea, people used to plant rice by scattering the seeds directly onto the ground long times ago. But nowadays, the process is different. I think Hee-jung doesn't know where. Hee-jung also is city woman. She's from Seoul. So, but I know well, I'm from countryside. So yes, the process is different now. Hey, you see this screen. So farmers first grow the seeds into small rice plants in trays. Right side, this picture, same. And then they transplant each young rice plant by hand or with a machine, into flooded rice fields. So my father was a pastor of a church, so he was not a farmer. However, we lived in a rural farming area. So, and when I was a child, I often helped the members of our church and friends' families during rice planting seasons. So I still remember exactly. So you look at this, I think you can see that there is a line, like some cable or rope in here, and then each line, everyone together at once plant the seed, like this. So, and then it's done, and then after that, rope is another part, and we plant again. So that means, it's hard. There is no chance to my back is flat, always like this. So yes, it's quite difficult to me, but at the time I helped my church member or my friends' families. Yes. So it took many hours to plant all the young rice plants, and I still remember how much my back hurt because I had to keep bending over always. So if anyone here knows how rice planting is done in your country, I would love to hear about that. Matty, thank you. Okay, now let's go back to the times of Jesus. Farming in Jesus' day was quite different from farming today. A farmer would carry seed in a bag, often on a donkey. So that's the picture from Africa, I think. There's a donkey, but there's something there, like a can. And then I think they spreading the seed on the ground. It's something like that. So there is just some bag on a donkey in Jesus' time. So a small hole would allow the seed to fall out as the donkey walked through the field. So because of that, the seed landed in many different places. Some fell on the path, some among rocks, some among thorns, and some on good soil. So Jesus uses this familiar picture to teach us about the kingdom of God. The soil represents God, and the seed is God's word. The different kinds of soil represent the different ways people respond to that word. So when people read this parable, they often focus on the last soil, the good soil that produces a great harvest. So naturally, we begin thinking about results and fruit. But to be honest, as Christians, that can create pressure. We think we must bring many people to church. We feel we must always succeed in ministry. As a minister, I sometimes feel that every sermon must be perfect and every pastoral visit must make a big difference. But I don't think that is the main point Jesus wants us to hear today. This parable appears in a chapter that is all about the kingdom of heaven. God's word has been scattered generously throughout the world, but not everyone receives it. So Jesus says that those who hear the word, understand it, and receive it will bear fruit. But before we focus on bearing fruit, I want us to remember what Paul teaches us in Romans 8. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." Our relationship with God is not built on our own effort. We are not made right with God because we work hard enough or produce enough results. We are set free because of what Christ has done for us and because the Holy Spirit is at work within us. Romans 8 also reminds us that although our bodies are weak because of sin, the Spirit of God gives us life. That changes how we read the parable. The parable is not telling us that God is standing over us, measuring our success or counting our achievements. God desires hearts that hear His word, receive it, and respond to Him in faith and obedience. Of course, we all want to see fruit. We want our church to grow. We want our family and friends to come to know Christ. We want people we love to worship with us. But sometimes, those things do not happen as quickly as we hope. Some people are weighed down by worries, sufferings, or the pressures of life. Others are simply not ready to receive God's word. That can make us tired It can make us discouraged. But today's parable reminds us that our calling is not first to produce the harvest. Our calling is to keep sowing the seed. The gospel can only take root in someone's heart if the seed is first scattered. If we never sow the seed, how can anyone receive it? I believe our church has been faithfully sowing the seeds of the gospel. So I'm thankful and proud when I see our congregation continuing God's mission through worship, prayer, service, and love for others. Sometimes we do not see immediate results. Sometimes the harvest seems small. But that does not mean God is not working. The harvest belongs to God. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who changes hearts. He is the one who brings the growth. So, let us not become discouraged. Instead, let us continue to sow the seed faithfully, trusting God with the results. And let us work and pray together that God will make our own hearts and the hearts of those around us good soil, ready to receive His word and bear fruit for His kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for sowing the seed of your word in our lives. We know that by our own strength, we cannot be made clean or bear good fruit. Only by your Spirit can we live and grow. Help us to keep sowing your gospel with faith, even when we cannot see results. Make our hearts and the hearts around us good soil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.